Second Timothy 3:16 or 2:16?
3:16.
Yeah. Let me make a word of apology. I know I've spoken several times here over a period of months, and I've always put it aside and didn't really want to speak, but God keeps moving in my heart, and He doesn't let me rest until I say what He's laid upon my heart. This particular reference here in where Timothy says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. If you read your Bible regularly, you run into that, and I've read it more than one time. I've read it a number of times. But about a month ago, the Lord stopped me and lifted some things to my mind and heart. They refresh me, and He hasn't let me see any rest. So if you'll share with me this morning, I hope something will be said that will give you inspiration and encouragement. With this scripture here, where He says all scripture is given by inspiration, what is scripture anyhow? It stands out as the first of this sentence. Scriptures are the thoughts of God given to man by revelation. These revelations are inspired messages, and this word inspiration here, Strong says, is divinely breathed in. Now, if you connect those two, you find out that puts a different emphasis on these words that Timothy has stated. They're not just ordinary words. They're just writings of men. God Almighty Himself is behind it, and He's moved them and give His words of revelation inspiration of light and life. So He's put something important into these things. God uses inspiration to provide spiritual light to our understanding. New light, new spiritual light gives us understanding. What does it give us? We receive new guidance for our wills, new leadership for the paths we will walk, new support for the truth that He gives us, new nourishment for our spiritual hunger, new strength for our courage, and new spiritual life quickens and revives our hope that He gives us. You remember there's a text in the Bible, Christ in you, the hope of glory. New spiritual life quiets your soul. That wonderful text that God moved in my life some months ago now. Be still and know that I am God. And I think that's something He's given recently on it. Be still and receive the knowledge of God. That doesn't change the meaning of that verse, but it does give some emphasis to it. Man has spiritual needs. The Bible says the heart of man is deceitfully wicked, and desperately wicked. In Isaiah 55:7, we asked a question a moment ago, what is Scripture? And the Lord has led me to two things in the book of Isaiah 55:7. God Almighty refers to the thoughts of man and to the ways of man. So Scripture, inspired of God, deals with the thoughts of men that needs attention and with the ways of God. Now, it's amazing that He separated those two things, and you might think there'd be a number of other things. But as you read the Word of God and think about what happens to man, the experiences of man, the revelations of man, the blessings of man, the problems of man, the disturbances that he goes through, you begin to see they stand out. And I was amazed to realize that God had chosen these two things the thought of man and the ways of man, and they need attention. He said that this condition ought to lead man back to God. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. This wickedness and this unrighteousness seem to control man, and as it controls him, he does some real mean things, if you stop to look at the scriptures very close. How about the ways of man? I'll give you a couple of scriptures here. All the ways of man are clean in his eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. In Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Amen. If you talk to people and they don't want to accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, you soon realize they got their lifestyle and their way of doing things, and they follow that. And if it isn't sounded on the scriptures, then, friend, it's going to lead to the disaster of a life. I'm watching some young people now, and I call them young because they're a lot younger than I am. But the fact is, they're going on and they're living, and as I've been told many times, and maybe you've heard the same thing, the Bible is just a crutch for people to lean on. But the Word of God, as they go down the line and as they come to the appointment with death, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. The third thing, he's going to face the destiny that God Almighty decides. Whether they want to, whether they think they ought to, whether they appreciate it or not, that's beside the point. They're going to have those three things to encounter. And you know, the second thing that the Lord has mentioned here is not only about the ways of man, but the thoughts of the unrighteous man. And you know, as you think them here and you consider the scriptures, as I said as I opened my comments, the scriptures are the thoughts of God given to man by inspired revelation. A lot of time we try to reason these things out and think them through in the natural sense of the word. You will never get the full benefit and the blessing and the inspiration and the guidance of those truths by trying to reason those things out in the natural sense. The natural man receiveth not the things that be of God. That's a strong statement, but it is true. People reason their own thoughts on their own imagination, and it's amazing what they come up with. And then they try to find scripture to support what they're dealing with. So what is the thoughts of man now? Back in Genesis, the 6th chapter, the 5th verse, it says this: God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I will guarantee you, I'll never know, but I will guarantee you that every one of those folk that was living in the time of Noah had an idea they were right. They trusted in it. They worked with it. But when the rain began to fall and things began to change, that ark saved Noah and his family, and the rest of them perished. Friends, what do we think? How do we live? And how do we go? In Psalms 10:4, the wicked thought through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. In Psalms 94:11, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity or they are empty. Scripture-like, we receive the thoughts of God. What is a thought? Have you ever stopped to think about it? Let me tell you what the Lord has given me. It's short and to the point. Thought is a concentration of our attention on what has appeared in our imagination. It can be a need.
Could you say that again?
Think of it now. Thought is a concentration of our attention on what has appeared in our imagination. The Lord, I'm sure the Spirit of God give me it. I would have never thought of it in that sense, but I've appreciated receiving it from Him. And as I start to say, the imagination may be aroused by a need, by an idea, by a subject, or some strong desire. We begin to ponder on it, begin to think. Thought has its influence on us. Listen. It has influence on our state of mind, on our character, on our lifestyle, on our conduct, and on our attitude. And you may add a number of things to it, but I will leave that thought with you. Thought has an influence on our relationship with God, on our fellowship with God, and on our association with God. When the Bible says, be still and know, that's to be still and think. When you sit alone in your quietness of your heart, and you begin to let your mind reach out to God, there are things that come to your mind and heart. There are things in your life. At times, God lifts to your thought in very strong way. You can't push it aside. You must deal with it. You must pray about it. You must think about it. You must look for help. So as He deals with us, thought has an influence on our trust in God, on our confidence given to us of God, our hope that needs daily refreshing. Truly, God deals with us. Our thoughts is a channel that God deals with us. It's His means of dealing with us and giving us things. It brings to us knowledge about God's spiritual understanding of our minds and spiritual truth. God has impressed me very strongly about this. Listen at it. Spiritual truth and the rightness of spiritual truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And He lived an example of what truth really is. As we think on these things, I'd like to leave a couple of scriptures with you for your thought. In the 37th chapter of Ezekiel is the description of the Valley of Dry Bones. And the Lord took Ezekiel and set him in that Valley of Dry Bones. And the Lord asked him, can these bones live? And in my imagination, I can see Ezekiel as he's doing some serious thinking. So he said, Lord, thou knowest. I think we'd all said about the same thing. It's God that could. One thing about it, they were a whole lot of bones. They were disjointed. And they were cold. And there were many of them. But they were dead. And we look for plans and programs and ideas and things to get those bones started. But God said, prophesy to them. And what was He to prophesy? The Word of God. He's going to preach to them. Inspired preaching or inspired thoughts of God or inspired motivation was all He was going to deliver to that Valley of Dry Bones. But when He began to preach what God gave Him, those bones began to shake and come together. Just the Word of God. Not programs, not ideas, not trying this, that, and the other, but just the Word of God began to move. Now, I don't have those cold, dry bones heard. But when the Word of God was preached, things began to happen. And so the words of God, all scripture is given by inspiration. The word of God has an anointing upon it that God Almighty put upon the truth. And so those thoughts are different. Now the second thing that I'd like to mention to you about these thought of these things is that in the book of Isaiah, the Lord said something very strongly about it. Let me read it to you. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. Take that in, which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. Now I'd like to leave this thought with you. The word of God is divine revelation. Many times as the gospel is preached, it's preached and sin is exposed and many things are said about it. But consider that what Timothy is saying, all scripture is inspiration. Inspiration on the revelation that God has given. God is light. God is life. God is grace. God is mercy. And the word of God under the anointing will lift your thoughts Godward. You find many Christians today that are struggling and having an awful time. They won't go to the word of God. They're trying to figure things out in their imagination. But the word of God gives light to your heart, to your soul, to your spirit, to your mind, and it's uplifting. When God begins to unfold you, the word of God, light comes to your understanding. The word of God begins to give you meaning and guidance and leadership. It begins to lift your spirit. It begins to brighten your heart. It begins to move you with a greater trust. When God can get his word within us and that anointed word works in us, it's going to move us Godward with his help and his understanding. I think it's a marvelous thing how the Spirit of God can take the word of God and give you revelations about it and understanding about it and guidance about it and leadership about it and inspiration that move you Godward. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You'll forget it in an hour, but nevertheless, think what I'm saying. There's a rich revelation in these words. The psalmist has said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against it. The entrance of thy word giveth life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So friends, this precious book, we call it the Bible, but it's God's thoughts given to man by revelation under inspiration, and that inspiration gives life force, life understanding, and life about God and from God and of God for our hearts. This morning as you sit here, you are the beneficiary of the grace of God. And let me say, as I've said this several times, not this morning, be still. Get alone. Set aside a time that you can sit and think on God. Don't think about your bills. Don't think about your problems. Don't think about your trouble. Let your heart reach out to God. And what will happen to you as time goes on, it may be within 2-3 days, or it may be in 6 months, or it may be a year, you're going to find the peace of God begin to come and settle your turmoil that's in your mind. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Friend, you're blessed. If you know the precious Lord, you've been spiritually born, you are a blessed individual. Don't let anything mar or hinder or interfere with that relationship. Make your relationship with God a prime purpose. Set your heart to that. Don't let anything else disrupt you or lead you astray or get you involved in something else that will take you away times of waiting before God, because He is your life and He is your life. Thank you.